grazing her ears in the nape of her neck. She needed a new look, and definitely a new attitude, but didn't want to think about all the things she had to do to change her life as she pushed her sock-covered feet into a pair of leather clogs and walked to the front of the shop to check the voicemail. 5 days a week, Francine helped her mother manage the salon, cut and style hair, and occasionally fill in for the manicurist and/or esthetician whenever they were backed up. The other 2 days were now spent helping her grandmother adjust to moving from her Charleston condo to living under the same roof with her son, daughter-in-law, and granddaughter. 81-year-old Dina Donovan Tanner had protested loudly when her son insisted she give up living independently and move into a wing of his house on Kavanaugh Island. Frank Tanner had installed an elevator so his mother wouldn't have to navigate the staircase, converted the west wing to include a bedroom suite with an adjoining bath outfitted for a senior, a living-slash-dining room with a sitting area, and a state-of-the-art kitchen. Once the octogenarian saw her new apartment, she reluctantly agreed to move to Sanctuary Cove. Even if Grandma Dina had initially pouted like a surly adolescent, Francine secretly applauded her father's decision to take control of his mother's life, because it meant she didn't have to drive to Charleston to see her grandmother's physical and emotional well-being. And most nights, she ate dinner with her. Dina, who'd lived up to her reputation as one of the best cooks in the Low Country, had settled into a more laid-back life on the island, grinning non-stop because she got to see her only grandchild every day. Now that her best friend, Morgan Dane Shaw, was married, they had curtailed their early morning bicycle outings from 5 days a week, weather permitting, to one or two. She and Morgan had been high school outsiders and had never cultivated close relationships with the other students living in Charleston or on Kavanaugh Island. Even when both left the island to attend out-of-state colleges, they never lost contact with each other. She missed hanging out with her friend, but she was glad that Morgan had found her happily ever after with Nathaniel Shaw. Pencil in hand, Francine activated the voicemail feature and jotted down appointments in the book spread out on the reception desk. There were messages from regulars who wanted a myriad of services. Then she went completely still when she heard the last two messages. The nail technician and one of the stylists had called to say they were experiencing flu-like symptoms. 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, influenza had swept across the island like wildfire. Hardly anyone was left unscathed. Classroom attendance in the schools in the island's three towns, Sanctuary Cove, Haven Creek, and Angel's Landing, was drastically reduced when students, faculty, and staff alike succumbed to the virus. The local health department had declared a health emergency, forcing the school's superintendent to issue an order to close the school 4 days before the onset of the Christmas recess. Under another set of circumstances, students would have applauded extending the holiday recess, but most were too sick to celebrate. The waiting room in Dr. Asha Monroe's medical practice had been standing room only. The island's resident doctor sent his patients home to limit the spread of the virus and made house calls instead. Dina refused to let Dr. Monroe give her a flu shot, declaring she didn't like doctors or needles, opting instead to take an herbal concoction guaranteed to offset the symptoms of cold and flu. The elderly woman declared proudly that she was healthier than many half her age because of the herbal remedies that had been passed down through generations of Donovan women. Francine and her parents took the shot, and were fortunate enough to avoid the full effect of chills, fever, and general lethargy. However, her mother, Mavis Tanner, like most of the merchants in the cove, closed the beauty box for a week because of a rash of cancellations. She'd used the time to have repairs made to the adjacent space that was now the Butterfly Garden Day Spa. Francine disassembled the lifelike artificial tree, putting it and the ornaments in a large duffel bag on wheels. Coming in early had its advantages. She could listen to her favorite stations on the radio before some of the elderly customers gave her the stink eye about her taste in music. They'd grumbled.